Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, let's get started. We had started last week the second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, the bracha of Ata Gibor, recognizing God's strength. And what we had basically spoken about in terms of defining Gevura was really our main focus last week, was that there's a few different ways that we can understand Gevura of Hashem's strength. Number one is in the most basic way, the way that Rav Dessler explains it in his Michtav Me'Aliyo, that it's the basic understanding of Gevura is strength, is physical might. Now, God is beyond physicality; is an infinite being, but nevertheless, the Torah of Chazal will often speak. Will speak in ways that are relatable, and this is one example of that. But the way that Chazal describe Hashem's Gevura is that it's Ata Gibor Li'olam, that it's infinite strength, which obviously gives a very clear presentation of that. This is not a human strength, but rather this is a this is something infinite beyond our beyond their comprehension. Another we said from the Siach Yitzchak. The Siach Yitzchak said that Gevura is a representation of Hashem's Nisim, of Hashem's miracles, as opposed to Oz. Just might is described in Chazal as referring to the way that God functions in nature. Gevura is the way that God works beyond the boundaries of nature, creates nisim, miracles in our life. We had talked about the Ramban that says that the importance of focusing on larger miracles will help us realize that even the things we call nature are really miraculous in and of themselves, and that in turn creates emuna within us. And then the last explanation we gave was from the Abu Draham. That Hashem is, based off of Gemara and Masechta Yoma, that Hashem is acting as a gibor, the way Chazal use it in the context of overcoming a natural desire, that although we may want to do X, Y, or Z, if we can overcome that, that is a true gibor. Hashem will allow the wicked to do the things that they do, even though that doesn't make any sense. Why would Hashem want that to happen? Of course, he doesn't want that to happen. But so he's kovish his yetzer. He stops himself in order to give them the opportunity for teshuva, to give us the opportunity for teshuva. How many times is Hashem going to let us make the same mistake? Is he going to let us use our mouths again for speaking lashon hara? At a certain point, you'd think Hashem would just you know, cut it at its source. But no, Hashem is kovish his yetzer. He is a gibor. He shows his strength by giving us the opportunity to improve ourselves. So that is what we established yesterday. I want to before we continue, I want to read through now the bracha, then go back and we'll explain line by line each part of the bracha. So In the photocopies, we have the photocopy on page 61 is in the Hebrew and page 62 is in the English. And this is again from a wonderful Siddur that was compiled by Mrs. Ruchi Koval from Cleveland, called Conversations with God. That's a brilliant translation with brief explanations of the Siddur. I highly recommend. The bracha reads as follows: Ata Gibor Le'olam Hashem, you are eternally strong, infinitely strong, God. Mechaye Meitim Ata, that you revive the dead, and Ata Mechaye Meitim Ata Rav LeHoshia, that you are able to revive the dead, and your salvations are abundant. And now, during the winter months, we add in Mashav Haruach Umorit Hageshem. That Hashem blows the wind and brings the rain. Nusach Sfard and Eidura Mazrach, during the summer months, add in Morid Hatal, that Hashem brings the dew, allows the dew to fall. We're going to have to spend time in the next couple of weeks to talk about the halachic implications of Mashav HaRuach and Morid HaGeshem versus Morid Hatal is important. We can't skim that over. Mechakel Chaim Bechesed, that you sustain life with kindness. Mechaim Esim Berachimim Rabim, you revive the dead with abundant mercy. Somech Noflim, you support the fallen. Rofei Cholim, you heal the sick. Matir Asurim, and you release those who are bound. Mechaim Emunoso L'Sheinei Afar, and you keep your promise. To those that are already passed away, meaning again referring to Tchias HaMeisim, Mi kamocha ba'al gevurosu mi domelach, that who is like you, Hashem, who can compare to your strength? Melech memisu mechaye umatzmiach Yeshua, that you are the king who brings death and restores life, plants seeds of redemption. We trust that you are going to bring back life to those that have passed. Blessed you, Hashem, who revives death. So if you were to pick out one major theme from this bracha that really highlights Hashem's gevura, it would be Tchias HaMeisim. It would be the fact that Hashem revives the dead. It's interesting that Rav Freelander in his Sifsei Chaim points out that the reason why the bracha that is trying to acknowledge Hashem's strength, it's trying to frame for us the might of God, specifically focuses on Tchias HaMeisim. He says because of all of the 13 principles of faith, of all the Rambam's 13 principles of what basic Judaism is, belief in one God, the unity of God, that the Torah is not changing, that we believe in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi that ever will be, that we believe in all of the Nevuahs from all the prophets, that Mashiach is going to come. Of all the 13 principles of faith, probably the most difficult one to wrap one's head around is Tchias HaMeisim, right? It's like such a definite reality. When somebody passes away, it's like there's no coming back from them, right? Mashiach is something that we can, at least definitely in our day and age, start to wrap our heads around. I'm sure it was more difficult to believe right after Korban HaBayis, right after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but we're like very close to Mashiach's arrival. And things that describe what the end of days are going to look like, the days right before Mashiach's arrival are going to look like, as described by Chazal, are basically happening today. Well, it's rather simple, if one has basic belief in God and in Chazal, that one can wrap their heads around Mashiach's arrival. The fact that there's reward and punishment makes sense. Believing in one God who's wholesome, that's true and just, is something that, again, is basic to Judaism. So pretty much all of the fundamentals of Judaism are things that we can wrap our head around. Tchias HaMeisim is a very difficult concept to be able to fully believe in. It's not so simple to fully believe in, especially those of us who have gone through the loss of a loved one. So the reason it's so traumatic, and the reason it's because we know they're gone and we're not going to see them again. And that's part of what makes it so difficult. So to just fully believe in Tchias HaMeisim is a very, very difficult thing to do. Says Reb Chaim Freelander, that's why when trying to highlight Hashem's Gevura, we say right in the beginning of the bracha, Ata Gibor La'olam Hashem, that you are a Gibor. Your strength is infinite, beyond my comprehension, that I can at least, because of the fact that I see it with my own eyes, I can't do it myself. I can't fully appreciate it, perhaps, but I see that there's an ocean, and I see that the ocean does not overflow onto the land because you, God, make it that way. And I see your strength in that. I could see it. But when it comes to Tchias HaMesim, it's not something I could see. But we have to instill within ourselves, Atah Gibor La'olam Hashem. Hashem is eternally and infinitely more powerful than we can imagine. And even if it doesn't make any sense, Tchias HaMesim, being that we have a Mesorah as it being one of our principles of something that Hashem can and will do, we instill that emunah within ourselves with saying Atah Gibor, focusing on Hashem's strength as being infinitely great, la'olam, forever, even in the days of Tchias HaMesim, when Hashem is going to resurrect the dead. There's an amazing medrash that that's pointed out by Rav Dessler. That Rav Dessler explains also what this word la'olam means. That that yes, it means in the future, but also la'olam has a connotation of consistent. That Hashem shows his strength consistently. That it's la'olam, it's always. Hashem is always showing his strength. And not only is it something that's a constant, but it is also something that something that is that it's consistent and a constant at the same time. That it consistently Hashem is showing his strength for us, and it's also something that is always happening, whether or not we're noticing it. For example, he says, writes Rav Dessler, there's a medrash on Megillas Esther. So the medrash is pointing to a pasuk in the Megillah when Haman is presenting to Ahasuerus what the how to deal with the Jewish problem, and Haman is like, we have to do something about this, and we have to kill them. But the way that he starts presenting it to Ahasuerus is he knows that Ahasuerus is a vehement anti-Semite. He knows for sure. So why hasn't Ahasuerus done anything then about the Jews, right? If Ahasuerus also wants them gone, he also hates the Jews. But why hasn't he done it yet? Ahasuerus must have understood then, Haman saying to himself, that they have a God who's going to protect them. So I'm not going to mess with God. If God's going to protect the Jewish people like he had in the past, so I'm not going to go up against that. I might hate them. There's nothing I can do about them. Then how does Haman convince Ahasuerus to finally go ahead and get rid of the Jews? So the the Medrash points to a careful reading. If you carefully read the Megillah, Haman was saying to Ahasuerus, Hashem's not going to protect them. But Yomer Haman l'melech Ahasuerus. Haman says to Ahasuerus, Yeshnu am echad, that there is a nation, Yeshnu, this one nation, Yeshnu am echad, mefuzer mefured be'amim, that is spread out amongst all the other nations, and we got to get rid of them. That's how Haman begins bringing up this issue to Ahasuerus. Points out the Medrash that Haman used specifically the word Yeshnu, that there is this nation that's an am echad, that is a nation of one. Echad, referring to the one God, referring to Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. No, that's one of our basic beliefs. Hashem is a unified, it's a unit. We are an Am that believes Echad, that believes in the oneness of God. But this God, that's oneness that they believe in, is Yeshnu. Says the Medrash, Yeshnu also has within it the word Yoshen, sleeping. That God, as if Haman is saying to Ahasuerus, Hashem, he's not interested in taking care of the Jews anymore. He's Yoshen. He's asleep. He's tired of taking care of them. And we know that the spiritual state of the Jewish people at this point in history was not a good one. Ahasuerus throws his party. All the Jews come to the party, right? They're Mufuza or Mufurad Be'ma'amim. They're all spread out. They're the assimilation is there. They're all within the rest of society, our spiritual state was not at a high level at this point. Says Haman to Achashverosh, you don't need to worry about their about their Hashem Echad. You don't need to worry about God. He's not going to take care of them anymore because Yeshem, because he's tired of taking care of them. What Haman's fatal miscalculation was, is Ata Gibor, says Rav Dessler, is Ata Gibor Laola. That even if Klal Yisrael doesn't deserve it, that even if we're in a bad state, even if it might seem like Hashem has every reason to be Yeshnu, Ata Gibor Liolam, Hashem is always going to be taking care of us. So that's one. Number two is, we said that Hashem is also a constant. He's not only consistently taking care of us, but he's also a constant. What does that mean that Hashem is constant? Meaning that even if we don't necessarily notice, says Rav Dessler, Hashem is Ata Gibor L'Olam. Hashem is taking care of us even if we don't necessarily notice it or it may not seem that way. There's a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim on Daf Nun. The Gemara over there points out the difference between blessings that are made in this world and in the next world, where the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Brachos, and the Gemara over there quotes the Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us that there are certain brachos we make, there's certain times we make a bracha on good things that are happening, on Besoros Tovos. What kind of bracha do we make on Besoros Tovos, on good news? It's the bracha of HaTov HaMeitiv. God is good and does good. These are brachas we make when somebody has a baby, and right, these are during really, really special moments. We make a bracha of Hatov v'Hametiv. But then there's another type of bracha we make on what the Mishnah refers to as Shmuos Raos, on bad news. God forbid, we make the bracha of Baruch Dayan Ha'emes, the loss of a loved one. We make the bracha of Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. Even when you hear of someone who passed away, we may not say God's name, but the response is Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. Blessed is the true judge, because we're tipping our hat to the fact that we don't understand everything Hashem does. It is very difficult to have to deal with His judgment. It is a very difficult situation that we're in, but nevertheless, we know that Hashem has a plan, and we may not totally understand it. Like what Eov said, Hashem natan, Hashem lakach, Yishem, Hashem bevorach, Hashem gives and Hashem takes away, but the name of Hashem is forever blessed. That's basically what we're saying when we say Baruch Dayan Ha'emes, that we don't get it, we don't know why this is happening, but we believe, we have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch. The Gemara points out that in Olam Haba, though, in Olam Haba, there's only one type of bracha that's made whenever any thing happens in this world, whether they be good things or quote unquote bad things. The Gemara says the only bracha that's made in Olam Haba is Hatov HaMeitiv. Hashem is good and does good, meaning even on tragedies. Things that happen in this world that are tragic. Somebody passes away, there's some sort of a natural disaster that happens. Tov HaMeitiv, God is good and does good. How could that be? All right, these terrible things are happening. Why are they making the bracha Hatov HaMeitiv? So the Chavetz Chaim explained, he said that, he explained using a mashal. He said, imagine a visitor comes to a community, having a lot of visitors the last few weeks. So a visitor comes to a community, and they come, it's their first time in the shul, and they see what's happening during the Torah reading. They're seeing the gabbai, he's running around like a chicken without their head on. Going over to the person in the front row, in the back row, off onto the side, to the right, to the left, all the different directions. I'm sure from the women's galley, you're looking down and you're seeing the gabbaim just running around about during the Torah reading. And the fellow, the visitor, is thinking to himself, this doesn't make any sense, right? Well, what a ridiculous system. So after davening, he goes over to the gabbai and he says, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it. Just, I had a suggestion. I just noticed that during the laning, you're running around in all these different directions to go give out the aliyahs. A much better system for you. On week one, give to the first seven people that are sitting in the first row. Week two, give to the next seven people sitting in the first and second row. Week three, give to the next seven people sitting in the second row. Week number four, give to the seven people sitting in the third. And just go through the seating chart at shul. And just that's how we're going alphabetical order. In alphabetical order, people will know when they're getting their aliyah. It's just, the Gabbai says, it says that you must not get it. The reason I'm running around to this guy is because this person just had a baby. The reason I'm running to the other side of the shul is because that person is making Sheva Brachos. The reason I'm running to the other side of the shul is because that person has Yortzeit. Then the other side of the shul, this person sponsored Kiddush. And then you just don't get the system. If you don't get the system, so then it might look ridiculous. Says the Chavetz Chaim, in this world, we don't get the system. So in this world, we're like the visitor that's coming in and saying, Baruch Dina Emes on this Gabbai that's running around all over the place. He looks ridiculous. He's making himself crazy for no reason, it looks like. Okay, I might not get it, but okay, he must have some reason. In Olam Haba, though, in Olam Haba, we're behind the curtain. Achori HaPargud, says the Chavetz Chaim, we know that even the things that are tragic in this world, they're actually for our good. Like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, that's what it means in the first bracha Shon Hashem. Chazal say that Hashem is gomel chasadim tovim. He's constantly giving good to us. And that incredible medrash that we've mentioned now a few times, that Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, that uva Hashemesh v'zarech Hashemesh, the sun rises and the sun sets, says the medrash, Shlomo Melech is trying to teach us that everything we have on top of the fact that we got to wake up this morning is all extra. It's all extra. There is an incredible amount of good that beyond our comprehension that we get to experience on a daily basis. Everything Hashem is doing for us is just for our benefit, is just for our good. And therefore, even the difficult moments, we have to remember are tov v'hametiv. They're good. Hashem is only giving good. In the time that it happens, it's difficult, which is why we say we're not at the level yet to appreciate that. We're not at a level when a tragedy happens, so we say, Hatov HaMeitav. That's inhumane. That's not normal, right? But we still say, Baruch Dina Emes, knowing that if I was behind the curtain, I would get exactly what was happening. I would get exactly what's happening. So that's, says Rav Dessler, another aspect of Ata Gibor Li'olam. The number one is that even if we think that we're not deserving of Hashem's Gevura, that Hashem is still going to act with Gevura towards us. And number two is that it's something that even if we perceive it as something that we as difficult in nature, or if only Hashem used his Gevura for it, now we have to understand that that's part of Hashem's Gevura, because it's part of something that is constant and good that Hashem is constantly doing for us. That's the second aspect of Ata Gibor Li'olam. That's, as we mentioned, that's why Rav Freelander points out, that's why we say Ata Gibor Li'olam. This is what we write. This is what Rav Freelander writes. He says, That's why we say Ata Gibor Li'olam Hashem Mechayim Esim. That's why we specifically hone in on the fact that Hashem will resurrect the dead. Writes the Rinas Chaim, writes Rav Chaim Freelander. He says, Gevuras Hashem Yisbarach Hashoveres is Hanhagas Hateva Vanhagas Hanetz. That Hashem's Gevura breaks the basic realm of nature into the realm of Nes, of doing miracles for us. Ein lanu Nes gadol yoser mitchias hamesim. And there's no greater miracle than that of the resurrection of the dead. Shari b'mavas ha'adam. Because when the person passes away, ko gufo misparek lechelkav hashonim, that their body is just seems like an empty vessel, right? It's just empty. Hakadosh Baruch Hu ma'al hanhagas hatefa. Hashem restarts their body during Tchias HaMesim is something that is the quintessential example of Hashem's absolute Gevura. Vizui Givoris Hashem Agidul Agidola Os Agidola Saanu Mitsuyim Barosha Berchza Gavur. That's why we kick off right after we've established Hashem's Gavura, and we've established the fact that it's La Olam, that it's constant, it's consistent, that and there's nothing that is beyond Hashem's capability. Right away we say he is Atigibur Li Olam Hashem Mechaye Mason, that God revives the dead. Doing exactly that. We then say that Hashem is Atigibur Olam Hashem Mechaye Mason Ata. Why specifically do we say that Hashem is Mechaye Mason? Like you are Mechaye Mason. Aren't all of these things that we're describing as Hashem is doing it? Why specifically are we saying that Mechaye Mason Ata? We're like adding, it's an unnecessary word, it seems like. So there is a Gemara in Masechta Tainus. The Gemara writes in the beginning of Masechta Tainus, it's also a Gemara at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin, that says, Gimma Machtechos Biyado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's three keys that only Hashem uses. Shelo Nimsru Biyad Shliach, that Hashem won't ever give to anyone else. And those three keys are all having to do with restoring or giving life. Number one is the Mafteach of childbirth. Of childbirth, Hashem does it. It's like what we say in the Haggadah, Lo Yadei Malach, Lo Yadei Shliach. Hashem doesn't do it with any malach or intermediary. Hashem gives life to the child when they're born. Number two is the power of rain. The power of rain is one of the keys that Hashem doesn't give to anyone else. It doesn't give to any other malach to act on his behalf. Hashem does it himself. And number three is Pias HaMeisim, that Hashem restores life. The dead is something that he doesn't pass on to anyone else. And even the examples we find in Tanakh, let's say, like we have of Eliyahu HaNavi or Elisha, that had done a Tchias HaMeisim of some sort, the Gemara has careful readings of the Psukim over there to describe that really it was Hashem doing all those things through the acts of kindness that Eliyahu or Elisha did, through the tefilos that Eliyahu did. Hashem interceded and did the Tchias HaMeisim at that point, but it wasn't that Eliyahu HaNavi or Elisha were doing it themselves. And that's why we specifically say Ata, because we know that this is something beyond anyone else's capability. Only God can be Mechaye Mason. Let's just point out two more words. Rav Lahoshia. What does Rav Lahoshia mean? That Hashem is abundant in his salvations, in his Hoshia. So if we recall, the word Moshia, in the previous bracha, we said Melech Uzeru Moshia Umagen, that Melech Hashem takes care of us as an Ozer, a Moshia, or an Amagen. What's an Ozer? An Ozer is that we put in our Hishtablus and that Hashem will take care of the rest, right? He's an Ozer. He helps us. Number two is Moshia, that even if there's no more Hishtablus to do, there's nothing I can do at this point, Hashem will bring the salvation. Number three is Magen. Before we even are in trouble in the first place, Hashem protects us from us even encountering those issues in the first place. That's why we say, again, in context of Tchias HaMeisim, of the resurrection of the dead, that Hashem is Rav Lahoshia, that the quintessential example of Hashem as a Moshia, as a savior, is this is something that all Hishtadlus in the world wouldn't do. A person can put in all their efforts. They could try their best to bring somebody back to life. It's never going to happen. This is the quintessential example of Hashem acting as a Moshia, Hashem acting as a savior, as even when there's nothing I can do, Hashem is going to swoop in and provide the salvation on behalf. He's going to swoop in and provide the kindness beyond our capabilities or even comprehension. So to summarize at least the opening line of Ata Gibor Liolam Hashem Mechaimesim Ata Rav Lahoshia, that you Hashem are a Gibor, which means that your strength is something beyond all human might. Your strength is something that is beyond all human might. It is something that goes beyond the boundaries of nature. Your strength is also in the way you treat us, in that you constantly give us the ability to rectify our own mistakes. But in that gevura of Hashem, that gevura, that strength is l'olam. It's constant and consistent, that even if it may seem like we don't deserve it, it's consistent. Hashem is consistently going to help us. And it's also constant. It's something that even if it may not be perceived as Hashem using his strength for us, it absolutely is. It's just that we don't understand the system, that if we were behind the curtain, we would understand exactly that all the things that are perceived as difficult in this world are actually all for our benefit or part of the greater good. And therefore, it is la'olam Hashem. And the quintessential example of this is Tchias HaMesim, Chayim Esim Ata, that Hashem's Gevura is something that even something that's beyond my comprehension of being possible, Hashem promises that this will happen. Well, Tchias HaMesim will take place, and it's Ata, and it's only Hashem that can do this. No one else can do this. Rav Lehoshia. This is what we mean when we refer to God as a Moshiach, that I refer to God as a savior, that when there's nothing left for me to do, Hashem is going to be Moshiach, that even though I can't bring this person back, I know that Hashem is going to bring them back, because that's only something that God is able to do. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, we'll talk about Masha Baruch and Moed HaGeshem. Take care, everybody.
So, who's the one who's...